5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No, I lost it. You kept it going. I lost it.
Hey, you were listening to Flowing with Famous, the Fresno podcast where we talk about all the great things that are happening and not happening in Fresno. I am Famous Whitewater, aka Joshua Teehee, or vice versa. And with me, as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network podcast. Mike.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Josh. Glad to be here in 2011. Or is that the year? 2021? We were here in 2011, too. We were doing Flowing of Famous then, too.
Really good, right?
2011. Oh, what a year that was.
It was a pretty good year. 2021 in Fresno. Let's talk about.
Oh gosh, we're off for a bad start.
Fireworks and gunfire.
Ooh, yeah.
Did it seem as bad for you as in years past?
No, it seemed like the New Year's seemed like a normal New Year's. My thing was like it was on Christmas Eve. It was starting,
right? Well,
and I'm just like, real? Is this the line we're crossing now? Now we're like,
right?
Now we're now it's just holiday. Any major holiday. We're just that's what we do is light off mortars.
Were there any on Thanksgiving?
No, that I almost support, like Thanksgiving Eve or something, like yeah.
What's interesting is, I feel like, so at midnight, there was an equal amount of firework gunfire as a normal year.
Yeah.
I feel like the gunfire and fireworks started earlier, right?
So yeah.
It was like, I think the first one I heard was like at, you know, 6:30 or 8:30, you know. So it started earlier, but it didn't go all night. Like I remember last year, it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm waking up and, you know,
like, why are you still up?
Right. Right.
Why is this exciting to just make a big bang at 3 in the morning?
I feel like it was contained. The time frame of it was a little more contained, at least it, like after around midnight, than
right?
It had been
a little more accurate with our explosions this year,
and that's probably just because of you know, I would hope COVID restrictions and people not having parties and being out, you know, being out in big groups for a long period of time. Although, who knows? I will have to say. I will give the city props for on the day of, or New Year's Eve, I guess it was, they announced, it's crazy they announced on New Year, but they announced, we're going to give fines to people, $1,000, parties or whatever, over 50 people, up to $10,000.
That was weird that like they did it like that, like
right.
Parties well, had already probably begun, and he's like, And they're like, bro.
Also, they didn't.
Which I support.
So it's guys.
Oh, they didn't end up giving out any?
No.
Oh. We're going to do it.
As of Saturday or whatever, that's what they said. They hadn't, they didn't give any out. But I'm glad they did it. But yeah, it almost seems silly. It's like, if you really wanted to affect it, that should have been something that, like, the week before you had in place,
start
and you let everybody know,
start so laying that, into that, know, like,
put
hey,
on blast. You know, and but you know, it is what it is. So, happy New Year! Anyway.
I was like, we were like, for us, it was like it was 100% our normal New Year's Eve the way it's been the past few years. But exactly. And we're just like, oh, everyone else is experiencing our New Year's Eve now.
Right. What we normally
except,
do.
Except for we didn't feel guilty or sad that nobody asked us to a New Year's Eve party.
Right.
We're just like, yeah, we're the cool ones now, huh?
This is great.
Like, anybody want any tips on the lonely New Year's? We've got them. We've done this before.
I sort of feel like that's really awesome about this because I personally, like, I like to go out, like, whatever. But I don't like feeling, like, that feeling of obligation, like what you're talking about, where it's like you feel bad if you don't go out. Like, maybe I just want to sit in my house on New Year's and not do anything.
Yep.
That should be okay. But there's, like, this feeling of obligation of, like, oh, what am I missing out on? Ah. And so this year, that's kind of nice to not have that.
Exactly.
Know? Be like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be, sitting at home with my cat. Watching, you know, whatever TV. So
cat therapy, watching TV, watching your hair grow. How's your hair doing?
My hair grow. Oh man, my hair's crazy. It continues to grow. This is the longest my hair.
Me too. Grown. Yeah, I'm doing that too. I mean, nobody's happy about it, but me around me. But
well,
so people at work are like, "Oh my god, dude, what the hell are you doing?"
I would not do it. Realistically, if like I feel like if more people saw me out and about, like I might be a little less inclined to have let it go. And also, like so I shaved my beard, but I left the mustache. And it's it's a really hipster mustache. It's, you know,
don't worry, like, it's hipster.
Okay. I mean, it's just I mean, I know it. It's fine, but I think it looks cool, like. But I also am like, if I'm outside, I have a mask on. So no one has to see it. So I don't feel as bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like if maybe I was out and people saw me, they'd be like, well, what's that hipster dude? You know? But they can't. So I feel good about it.
Right.
It's nice. There are some benefits to this new masked lifestyle.
You're right.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, I know. I don't ever have to worry about, something in my teeth or anything. I've got a mask on.
Right.
Who knows what I'm doing under there? You don't know. And I don't have to worry about it.
Don't brush my teeth. Like, it's perfectly fine. No, who cares?
You got to brush your teeth more because you're smelling your own breath now. So you're just oh, God.
True. Yeah, that is probably true. I'm brushing my teeth in normal.
just so everyone knows. I'm brushing normally. Okay.
I'm not.
That was a joke.
I may be showering less than normal, but.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's conserving water. I'll bet water. I won't. If everybody's. I wonder what the water usage is like.
I don't know.
For the year. Like, is it
for me
more or less? For
me, truthfully, it's way less because, I am showering less than normal. So not every day, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm working at home. Who cares?
Cares. You know? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Except for your cat.
When I start to smell, then it's like, shower time.
there's your marker. Yeah. We were trending just this past weekend in a bad way. Fresno was a Twitter trend for a little bit. We had multiple things happening within a couple of days. We had a shootout at the mall. It wasn't a mall. It was not a mall shooting. It was two dudes shooting at each other, I guess.
Shooting. Was it two people shooting or one person?
Maybe it was just one person shooting at another person. And that sort of, you know, if that's going to happen at a major shopping center, then it's going to be like, in these times, it's going to be, everyone's going to, you know, panic and feel like it's a different kind of shooting, but not that it matters. I mean, they're terrible having to deal with that either way, but, but that's sort of why, like, for a minute there, Fresno was trending, until we figured out what kind of
happened is like, someone got in some kind of altercation and the dude was shot at, and it was at close range, but he didn't get hit. And the only people that got injured were, everyone fleeing. Because they were afraid that there was a gunman still, you know, that it was like an active shooter kind of deal.
Yeah.
But
why is anybody at fashion fair right now anyway? Like, just,
well, that, I mean, that is a good question.
I guess the stores have got to have business, but
was there enough people at fashion fair that they got injured like in a stampede looking to get out of it? Like, I mean,
this is New Year's week. Like, why are you shot?
Well, right. Right. You might have expected it right before Christmas, I suppose. But yeah. And I don't even know. Have you been to the mall recently?
Kinda. I mean, not really. I've been outside of it. I haven't been inside of it for quite a while.
I'm just wondering what's in the mall even anymore besides that.
Yeah, I don't even know. Before the pandemic started, I went there for something. I can't even remember what it was now. I think I was getting a birthday gift.
And it wasn't Orange Julius.
No, I already ranted about that a couple of years ago when that switched over. And I had a thing or two to say. So it was like a year ago. So I don't remember it being dramatically different, the stores and stuff. So
necessarily, yeah. They got a Spencer's Gifts, I'm sure.
Yep, I think
they got a B. Dalton bookstore.
The Hot Topic, because I think I might have went there for that, because like Hot Topic's still popular with the youths, and if you're buying it, something for the youths, okay. Yeah, for a certain group. The Van Store, I've been told by Nick from the Perfect Pour, is one of the top performing van stores in the country. And they get all the hot releases.
That van store. Yeah. Because it seems like vans are something I need, but I just never.
Yeah. What the hell?
I've never gotten around to it.
We got three van stores in town. So.
Okay. So we were trending because of that shooting.
And then Trader Joe's. We were trending for, that probably contributed to it. They had the non-masker protesters.
Right. They shut down the Trader Joe's, the anti-mask.
Yes, anti-maskers.
People.
Which it looked like, exactly, I don't, sure. Was there like 12 people? I couldn't tell, but it just like half a dozen people?
How many people were there. And I'm not exactly sure how it all played out, like, because some, depending on what you're looking, you know, where you're reading about it, like, some people were saying that they showed up at Trader Joe's for the express purpose of like doing this kind of protest. But the idea was, you know, they were standing in line, they got set to go in, and they didn't have masks on. And so obviously the store, the employees were like, no, you can't go in. And then there was a big altercation. And I guess, you know, the people without masks were, you know, getting in the face of the employee, you know, kind of had them surrounded and were yelling and blah, blah, blah. And then the police came. I don't think there were any arrests or anything, but essentially these people were like blocking the entrance to the store and keeping, you know, other people from going in. And the corporate offices or whatever decided, no, we're just going to shut the store down. And so they shut the store down for, you know, however long, which is insane to me that, like, if you're, so you're protesting about like stores being able to be, oh, because one of the things they were doing is like they were, you know, talking about all the other places that aren't allowed to be open while Trader Joe's is or something, or whatever. But it's like, so this is how you protest, by shutting down a, like, it's just, I don't
it's
know, just, the whole
yeah,
thing.
It's bass awkward, and especially when you're, especially a grocery store, like, you know, this is an essential thing, food.
Right.
We've got to eat. Well, we've got to eat somehow. And I know Trader Joe's is not an essential grocery store, but grocery store. It's not like a dress shop, like protest,
but you
freaking Macy's.
You know why they went to Trader Joe?
Because
they expected a certain kind of clientele.
They expected people that like masks to be there.
Right. they wanted to own the libs or whatever. So they go to the
libs love the Trader Joe's shit. Let's go there.
You know, I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Like, otherwise, like, there's a million different, unless it was really like spontaneous, but from everything that, from most of the stuff that I read, it didn't seem like it was spontaneous. It seemed like it was kind of a planned, a planned thing. And, they were going to go someplace else after that, you know, they were so going around town and
partying it up,
but it definitely doesn't make us look good. But then again,
no, it, but yeah,
a story, out of Santa Cruz, I guess, had a similar
kind of thing. So it just happens.
Farmer's market. So
you can get a small group of dummies in any town, America. So I don't care how liberal your town you think your town is. There's still going to be a group of dummies in there,
right,
that are going to pull off something. So that is, you know, we've talked about this forever, and we'll probably still be talking about it till the day we die. Is like, you know. Things aren't exclusive. Dumb things aren't exclusive to Fresno. Doesn't have exclusivity on dumb shit.
Right, right. We don't have the monopoly. Feels like it sometimes.
Yeah,
it really does. But yeah, we don't. Yeah.
There was another one that we were doing drifting in parking lots in the parking lot of Hobby Lobby parking lot, causing mischief and at intersections and. Stuff.
I had some of my friends today, the other day, were driving, and I can't remember what intersection they said they were at. But the their light turns green, but they can't go because in the intersection, the dude was spinning donuts, like multiple, just kept doing it.
Yeah, bro,
for like however long. So apparently, this is a thing now.
Oh yeah,
that's happening is these what are they calling? There's a name for it. Like, sideshow, street show?
I think sideshow, I think it's called. Yeah, a group of really, really bored people. Yeah, I assume aren't 21 or something. Like, there was that weird void of time where you're like between high school and when you're 21, where you sort of don't know what to do with yourself.
And everything.
So that's when that's kind of weird shit happens, where you're just like, I can't go to a bar, but I also don't want to do high schooler stuff. What do I do?
I can get in my car and do donuts.
Yeah.
My friends who were telling me the story, I was telling them that, like, guaranteed if I was in that car at any age, doesn't matter, I would have been yelling at the driver, like, you need to be more respectful of what's going on.
Sir, look at all this, your tires, all this air, your air quality.
I remember when I was in high school, and, you know, we never did anything that stupid. But, you know, we would do stupid things when my brother would got a license before, you know, I had a license and would drive us around and whatever. And, you know, there were times when we would do stupid things. And it was always, I was always the one like yelling, like, Jesus Christ.
Let me on the car. Let me on the car right now.
You need to respect this, you know, that kind of thing. So that would not be me. I would not be the one doing that.
Well, I would not be because it takes skill, I think. And I don't have that kind of skill.
I also feel like, aren't we just catching up, though? Because isn't this something that's been happening around California?
I know Oakland. I've seen tons of Oakland. This happens in Oakland all the time.
If anything, LAM2, this makes I'm us sure. look bad because it looks like
we're behind.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, LA is like, dude, we did that 5 years ago, man.
Come on. We were over that 10 years ago. That was so 2011, right?
Yeah. So,
where was that happening? You
know? Well, the one was on that Hobby Lobby in Blackstone. There was that, and then there was another intersection. I don't know, but I know I've seen that the intersection at Palm and Alluvial, they'll take over that. And I've seen some video from that intersection, but
That's crazy. Well, I know. I feel like they do it up top of the spiral garage all the time.
That's like, yeah. I mean, that would make sense. At least you're not like gonna hurt anyone but yourselves.
Like, I feel like I've been at Tioga multiple times and heard the. You know,
what's going on up there? Hey,
hear the tires scratching.
Trying to drink my beer down here. This is a stout. I need quiet.
This is a golden stout. My
it's a golden stout. I need quiet. Hey, is it?
I can't.
Hey, Matt, can you do something about that up there?
Can you call somebody? Because
what?
Trying to enjoy this lovely beverage. Right.
I'm trying to enjoy the brewery district.
Yes. One day you'll be able to enjoy a brewery district again.
Yeah.
With a band playing. Ooh.
That would be amazing. who knows when that will be, but you know.
Yeah. There's been some terrible car accidents here lately too, but it was I don't know how to talk about those other than it's just crazy. Horrible.
The last week of the year and the first, I mean, it's just been really terrible. And, you know, I work today. And one of the things I do is, they have me kind of covering breaking news. And, so we have had, in 3 days, 4 homicides in 3 days.
That too. Yeah.
In Fresno, which is,
I don't know what to think about that either. It's just like, is this kind of what we were talking about earlier? Is like, is this just what happens in cities? And we're just, you know, we're just kind of numb to it. We're like, oh, is that gang related? Oh, okay. And we just move on. And I don't know what to do about that. I mean, I hope this new police chief has some sort of plan. And I mean, it's obviously not something just on the police department. This is a whole community involvement kind of thing that needs to figure out what the hell is going on, because it does seem it's been a rough 6 months of that this kind of stuff or rough year.
I think part of it is COVID and the ramifications of that playing out. You know, I will say that the new police chief, and I don't know if this is I don't know if you saw this anyway the other day, but a Fresno police detective was arrested for essentially vehicular manslaughter. And he was on duty and hit a pedestrian. And it turned out that he had been talking on a cell phone or texting or something. The police department, the crash happened in September, I think. And just the other day, they announced that they had arrested him and they're going to charge him, you know, he has been charged. I thought that was, and it's sad, I guess, that I thought this, but I thought that was pretty kind of an amazing thing that, you would see, you know, an officer being charged like that. And so I wondered, like, is this the new police chief, you know, sending a message to people saying like, look, we're not, you know, we're going to be completely transparent. We're not going to BS around, when our officers do things like this, you know? So, and I mean, this is different, I suppose, than, you know, firing someone for excessive force or whatever.
Right.
But you know,
it's good that you just. There's accountability and maybe this. Hopefully, this it does seem like it was a good hire. Somebody, you know, it was a nice surprise hiring somebody outside of Fresno that doesn't seem to be in the good old boys network of like the police chief. You know, promoting another guy that's a little carbon copy of himself and that kind of thing. And
you have to wonder if that was on purpose, you know, so that at least from the the perceived standpoint is there was a break in the, you know, the line or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, now we have go ahead, Josh.
I don't even know if we talked about that on the last episode.
We have a new, we officially, it's Monday, and first Monday of the month, first Monday of the year. That's when we release, and we are officially in the Mayor Dyer.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Era, the Mayor Dyer era has now begun. We no longer Chief Dyer; it's Mayor Dyer now.
Yeah, it hit me the other day when I was doing some stuff. And do you know Mark Standrick?
Yes, city of Fresno's spokesperson.
I guess he's their spokesperson. Yeah. And I had a pretty good relationship.
I know him.
He's a really cool guy. He's an actor, and I think he played in a ska band back in the day. Just like a really cool weird kind of guy. But he's no longer in that role.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
It was like his last day or something. And, I was going to reach out and, they were like, oh yeah, Mark is like on vacation and he's transferring to his new position or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Was he staying in town?
Like, oh man, this is now it's getting real.
Yeah. Right. Was he staying in town?
Mark's gone. Yeah, I think he's still going to be working for the city. I can't remember what his name is.
Okay. Because I know he's not from here, right? He's from Sacramento or something.
No, I think he's from Ohio or something.
Oh, okay. Isn't somebody from your media going to be the city spokesperson now? I thought it was a TV media person.
Yes. Right? Yes. Who is it?
Somebody from the televisions.
Dang it.
Not Stephanie Brugian. No. I know that.
Not
Graciela Moreno. Not Kopi.
Oh, Standup is working with Beautify Fresno. It's his new thing.
Oh, okay.
It's an ABC That's a good reporter. Group.
I know the name. I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah. Me too.
By the way, have you seen Steph? Have you seen? Well, I'm sorry. Oh yes, Centaya Rose. Have you seen Stephanie Berusian lately?
Have I seen her?
Channel 24 Stephanie Berusian on TV or in person?
No, I have not.
She looks the freaking same as she has for 30 years. What's going on over there?
I don't know.
I'm just throwing that in there. Every time I see her, I'm just like, she looks. Why did she look exactly the same? I don't understand.
Interesting.
She's got good genes.
That's probably true. That's probably exactly what it is. interesting. It's going to be really interesting in the next little bit. I think when some of these people start retiring, you know, 70 and. Kobe's gone.
Kobe's still doing it. I see him at Bullard and West all the time. Oh, the Bullard Village Drugs is closed because I would always see him out front of Bullard Village Drugs, and they're closing. I think they're officially closed now.
Oh man,
that's depressing. You got the little post office in there, and I remember it from the Palm and Bullard days more fondly than I do the Bullard and West days, but. As a kid, going into that place, and that'd be like the magazine place to go look at magazines and waste a 20 minutes of your while walking home from Bullard's.
Right. Yes.
So I'm just, while we're here, I'm just respect to Bullard, BVD.
Reminiscing, do you want to take a quick music break?
We got plenty to talk about, but let's take a music break. And who is the band of the episode, Josh?
It is the man himself, Brian Kenny Fresno, who released he has a new album out.
He's got that like released. Gigantic guitar thing he has.
Yeah, it's called the War Guitar.
Whoa.
He's been playing, you know, So his name is Brian Kenny Fresno, and he is considers himself like an ambassador as he travels around and plays songs about Fresno. And so the new album out there is called The Future is Fresno, and it has lots of different songs about different things Fresno related. And then there's a song called Clovis.
Fresno's got cancer, it's on our northeast end. They act like they're some good old boys, but they're really not your friend. Oh, at first it seems so harmless as it starts to lure you in. Old time to charm out on the farm, but it starts to wear real thin. Yeah, cause just below the surface of being backwards 50 years, there's the lily white tea party culture that propagates racial fears. Buckle of the bobble belt, grandchildren of Confederates. Well, there are a lot of folks in Fresno who think the liberals are degenerates. Now there used to be an undeveloped buffer that separated the cities like a gate. But nowadays you're stepping in it, before you know it, it's too late. When the signs turn brown, you should just turn around. Don't go to Clovis. I wouldn't go to Clovis. When the signs turn brown, you should just turn around. Woo! Woo! To wear big hats there, you know they do it up for days. They got a big ginormous rodeo that celebrates Western ways. And they laugh about rustling engines and the Coon Hunt of 2007. They use monster trucks for taxis and they sell ammo at the Circle KKK. That's why you heard me, KKK. Have you heard about the butt drag where they stick two fingers in the anus? They teach them at the high school that wrestling moves so heinous. For their opponents in the ring, apparently it really makes them sing. And it's the single defining hallmark of their redneck.
Man, you give me a Clovis song and I'm in
culture.
Song making fun of Clovis and I am,
you know,
locked in.
Brian Kenny, okay, I just
still doing it.
You know, I did, still I love it. I think
one man band.
You know, he's a one man band.
But he has people play with him sometimes, though, right? Like I think
does
I've seen
some
him
crazy stuff, and you know, it's not necessarily like the easiest thing to listen to, but like
it's kind of Zappa. It's got that Zappa vibe of just like,
yeah,
you don't know what's gonna
but
happen.
What's
here.
Awesome is there's always like the intricacies of it, and like if you really sit down and listen to it, it's just. Yeah, there's just amazing stuff going on. So, and you have to really respect him for his commitment to Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby Salazar.
Bobby Salazar. Yeah.
You know, there's I can't. You know, just a bunch. He would hand out raisins,
yeah,
at all of his shows.
He's one of those guys that like every generation. I feel you have to remind, like, you know, like every generation discovers Led Zeppelin. I'm like, have you ever checked out Led Zeppelin? And
right.
So like you have to do that with every Fresno. You gotta be like, hey man, have you ever heard Brian Kenny Fresno? I'm like, what? And then they see him live. They're like, what's going on?
Like, who is this? What is this thing? This Brian Kenny Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you can go and buy that album. It is available at his Bandcamp, which is Brian Kenny, KENNEY Fresno, Bandcamp.com.
There you go.
So,
oh, Josh.
I suggest. Yeah.
We this happened a while ago, but it did happen since the last time we talked. Big okay. Pause that we've been talking about some terrible negative stuff about Fresno.
Yeah.
We're going to be at Southwest airline city now.
Oh yeah.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Does this make us, does this make us a real Western city now that we are officially a Southwest airline,
you know,
approved city?
Man. You know what's weird is that was a big deal and everyone was talking about it. It's like this whole thing. I have no idea. I don't fly. I don't go nowhere. I don't know.
You so drive me, when I'm you like, go somewhere.
Okay. What's Southwest? Who? What? I don't understand. You know. Mm-hmm.
They're like Alaska Airlines.
There was a time when I was in college and I was on the bowling team. We would go to tournaments and we would fly out of Fresno when we could. That's the last time I really have, you know, so I this from everything that I have been told from other people, it seems like this is a really great thing. Mm-hmm. And it gives us what? Flights to a bunch of cities that we hadn't been getting before.
I think the hope is it's just gonna drive the price down a little bit, and then also just like people are just like used to Southwest, you know, people in other cities are just like, I just fly Southwest here and blah blah blah, and then they're like, oh, I can't fly into Fresno, fuck Fresno. So it's almost just like gets that sort of little monkey off our back. Like, yes, you can take Southwest to Fresno too. We're not, you know, like.
Apparently Southwest Airlines is the nation's largest domestic air carrier. It was in 2019.
I did not know that.
And this is its first ever air service to Fresno. Mm-hmm.
They said we were the biggest airport that was not served by Southwest. So
that sounds about right.
That sounds us very. That sounds very Fresno. But I feel like that just there is a little part of it that legitimizes Fresno. I don't feel like we need that, but I mean, I know there is just that sort of not. Maybe it's not on the surface, but you know, just subconsciously. It's there is like, oh, there, you know, oh, like, yep. You know, oh, I can't fly into Fresno. Oh,
right.
What's the matter with Fresno? I think
it's more the thing that you just said before that, which is like, we're like the biggest city that doesn't have anything. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like of all the cities, for some reason, we weren't served by Southwest Air. So, you know, so like, I think that, and I do think that does something to that you're, you know, the ego of the city or mm-hmm. whatever, when it's like, well, maybe we don't deserve good things because we don't have it good things.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Southwest is a good thing, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. It can't be anything but good.
Daily
hopefully.
Departures.
Yeah. You can fly to Portland real easy. All you want.
Yeah. That's what we need. but yeah, it was a big deal. And, you know, I think it's weird because that seems like a weird thing to me that like having an airport is like a quality of life thing, mm-hmm. you know, like having a good airport.
Right.
Because like I said, I don't, you know, I couldn't tell you when the last time I took a flight, but for people who do, and California, we know that California is a place that's like very connected.
Mm-hmm.
So to not have a stake in that, you know, I think that does hinder us. So, you know, it's a step up. It's a step up. I think it's proud of.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I'm sure the airport has been like working.
Yeah.
That's something that the airport had been working years to get, you know, to land that, I'm sure. So.
Another good thing that happened right around that same week or same couple days is Measure P got bizarrely reversed. We're like, wait, what? Something good happened like that we would want that's good for Fresno that happened that got ruled for us? Maybe we are cool. Southwest Airlines is here and we're going to have money for parks, hopefully, if that holds up.
That so essentially the story there is that that the it went to court, right?
The
the thing went to court because what they sued and said there was something about the ballots, right?
I didn't read it, but I didn't retain it. It's just more, you know, they're just like said, like, hey, a majority of Fresno wants us approved. That's all I need to know.
Right.
Like, Bredefield wants to make it out like nobody wanted this. I'm like, well, there was a majority, dude. It wasn't like a, you know, I understand.
Oh, that was the thing. Yeah. That was the thing, because there was a question about whether, okay, yes, that was the thing. There was a question about whether it was a simple majority or it was like the 2/3 or whatever that was needed.
Right.
And so it received 52% of the vote, but it was less than a 2/3 majority.
Right.
That was what the city.
And then, yeah, I was like, why should there be a 2/3 majority? That's not correct.
Right. But, okay. Yeah. So,
I agreed with.
An appeal judge said that it only needed a simple majority, but it's going to, it'll still be in court.
It's not over.
It is passed for now, but it'll still be in court. Although the incoming mayor has now said,
yeah, he surprisingly was like, I'm cool with it. Unless he just like knows something that it's not going to happen still. And he's just like, I totally support it. Wink, wink.
That's very callous of you to.
Oh, wait, where would I get that from? I don't know. Paying attention to Fresno politics?
I mean, that would seem like the thing. And of course, yeah, Bredefield criticized it.
Of course. Watch your pocketbooks. Watch your pocketbooks, everyone.
Right.
We're not going to notice a damn thing on our pocketbooks. Okay, Gary.
Like, what is it, like 1/8 of a cent or something?
Nobody's gonna notice a damn thing. Watch your pocketbooks. I've gotta get in front of this.
Well,
go
right.
Get him. Right, God, find like something to do, Gary. Least, somebody give Gary something to do. A hobby. the man needs a legit hobby. Like, I don't know, man. Stamps or stamps.
Somebody needs to get him a Netflix account. Or something.
I will pay for Gary's Netflix account if he can't afford it. You know, like, I'll let him in on my password. Like, Gary, here's my Netflix password. Go watch some stuff. Go get a Disney Plus. I'll give him my Disney Plus because I want him to watch some Star Wars.
Right.
I want him to watch some Mandalorian. So, Gary, come on. Get something else to do, Gary.
Yeah.
Listeners,
anyone who's listening to this, give us some suggestions.
Put it out on Twitter. What should Gary's hobby? What should Gary take up as a hobby?
I don't know. I know that we've talked before. I'm sure I've talked to him, but I don't really know, so I can't say what I would think his hobby would be.
Yeah, you're a neutral.
I feel like everyone needs a good hobby. You have the podcasting.
Oh yeah, I have too many hobbies. I need to sell some of my hobbies to Gary.
I feel like I don't trust anyone who doesn't have hobbies. Like when I meet people and they, it's like, what's up with you?
Yeah,
you know,
I don't.
But maybe they care about their jobs and stuff.
I guess. I'm a worker bee kind of guy. Like I like to clock in, do my job and clock out. Then I don't think about my job until I clock back in again. And these people seem to just sort of think about it all the time, I guess. I don't know, man. Yeah. Gary, there's lots of things. There's too many things in life, Gary, to be worrying about stupid crap.
Right, right.
There's cool, fun things to do
like parks.
Go enjoy a park, Gary. You're up in Northeast Fresno. There's plenty of trails. There's plenty of green space. Go have some fun.
Take up biking.
Yeah. Go bike somewhere. Go down the Woodward Park and, you know, breathe on people without your mask.
Wow. I'm gonna go there. We're not gonna be attacking Bredefield on this podcast.
No, sir. I know. You're a neutral media party. I do like that he you know, he'll bash the Fresno Bee every chance he gets, but then the Fresno Bee let him have an editorial in there all of a sudden.
Well, I think that is correct. And I think that's the, you know, when people say stuff about the Bee, like I think it's a little unfair, and I think they don't recognize stuff like that mm-hmm. that we do. And we get flack on both sides. The Bee gets flack on both sides from that. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people who would say that the Bee don't give him a platform to say what he's saying. You know, especially if at the same time he's going to be trash talking. And I think it's interesting that he would offer that up to the Bee, knowing, you know, saying what he has said in the past, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It certainly is, sir. Before we go, I definitely want to throw out and what we talk about here may be dated in a week. I don't know, but it seems to be happening pretty quick. The rumor is that we kind of, I think we mentioned it last month, but that there is a church that is going to buy the Tower Theater and just turn it into a church a la the Wilson. Cornerstone.
So the rumor has been ongoing for a while. At least a couple of months, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a church that is operating right now. They are renting the
Adventure Church
space. Adventure Church, yeah. They're renting the space on weekends. I think they do 3 services on Sunday. And I believe right now they're operating against COVID policies. You know, they're not supposed to have indoor service, et cetera, so forth. And I think they are. But yeah, there's the rumor that the church is working to buy the theater outright and then, you know, operate it as a church. And there is a group that I think right now, I think what we're going to see in the next couple of days, next week, is, groundswell of community support coming out, not to block the sale necessarily, but to really raise what are some real concerns about what that would do to the district there. Mm-hmm. Apparently they are not
supportive of the gay community at all. In fact, they're opposite support,
and
you're putting yourself right in the middle of the Tower District, and you're
so that's one that's, thing. But I think there's really a bigger issue, and that's what's going to happen to the district if someone comes in and operates it. So there is a concern that if a church comes in and starts operating as a church, and if they have a children's program, then that will change the conditional use permits for everyone in the area. So no one's going to lose their conditional use permits or liquor license or anything like that. But let's say, for instance, you wanted to open a bar across the street from the Tower Theater. Well, if there's not a liquor license automatically like attached to that, you may not be able to do that because now you are trying to open get a liquor license within 100 feet of the church or whatever.
Oh, wow. Does that make sense? I did not even cross my mind at all.
Those businesses now that are operating with those kind of, you know, me and Ed's, Sequoia,
they're essentially
trapped in those spaces if there's a church there, because they wouldn't be able to sell, people would be less likely to buy because they're probably not going to be able to get a liquor license. Uh-huh. Then there's the dispensaries, right? Because mm-hmm. the Tower District is one of the areas in town that is open for applications for marijuana dispensaries. Okay.
That's cool. I didn't even know that.
And that's in the works already. There are several in the works that are being planned for an area around the Tower Theater. Well, if there's a church there, then suddenly they may not be able to do that because you can't have a dispensary within whatever, 1,000 feet of the church.
Mm-hmm. As one that's so already established there.
You're looking at businesses who have already probably put in, you know, whatever, however much money to kind of get this process started, who may be, you know, may be looking at not being able to do that. But just on a bigger scale, you're going to have a lot of places that just aren't, they aren't going to want to even be in that area because they know that the church is there and it's going to be a hassle, right. You know.
And
then, the other thing is just, you know, if will the, so from what I've been told or kind of how I understand it, the theater is not permitted for church services right now. Mm-hmm. So they would have to go through a conditional use permit. And the question is, would they continue to operate while that's happening? You know, so and a lot of there are people who are saying, you know, how is it fair that, you know, a place like Fab, when they're going to get their conditional use permit, they cannot operate until they have it all taken care of and it's 4 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a church can just kind of come in and operate and, you know, it's up and running and, you know. So I think the fear is that it's just going to happen and they don't want it to happen and go unnoticed and just like suddenly there's a church there that owns the place and everyone right. went like, how did that happen? So they're trying to get the word out and let people know. And I think there's going to be a campaign to try to, if it is something that like the people who own the building, they need to sell it because they're in financial straits,
mm-hmm.
then maybe the city can come in and help broker a deal with an entertainment company or someone right. who would be better suited for the venue, better suited for the thing. So
there's so many ramifications of this, all negative. I mean, it happens,
it completely changes the district. I mean, it completely changes. Even if the church is, let's say, the best community partner, and they're really just
Doesn't sound like they would be,
it still changes that the entire community, the entire community aspect, the entire district,
will be
changed by this.
And from what I've heard, that this is they're selling it for like $6 million plus.
That was the number that I've heard, but I cannot confirm that.
A random ass church on Palm and Olive get that kind of money to buy the Tower Theater?
They fundraise from there.
I just think there's something else going on here because they're like, you know, if you're a conservative that's anti-gay, where do we need to go to start converting or start changing things or whatever?
Yeah.
They're like, well, let's go to the Tower District. Oh, the Tower Theaters. We can buy the Tower Theater and start. Like, is that their mindset of thinking they're going to change people's thinking? Why else would you do that if you have $6 million to spend? Like, let's go buy a place in the middle of the Tower District. Like, what? Yeah. Like, there has to be something devious behind that.
I sort of feel like it's a taking advantage of the situation kind of thing. I could be way off base here. This is just my take on it. And I don't know all of the complete details. And I don't know anyone who goes to a church or talk to anyone. But I feel like, it is a building. It has a lot of features that I think the church would like, and they were able to get it, and they're probably able to get it fairly cheap right now because of the COVID and whatnot. And so I think it's more of like they're taking advantage of the situation more than like a really thought out kind of thing.
Right.
I totally could be wrong. And maybe it is something else, you know. But, you know, so it's again, it, you mentioned Wilson and the Wilson Theater downtown. And so this is something that has happened in the past. Cornerstone bought the Wilson Theater and in fact, that whole of the block. And now they own a lot of property in that area. The difference, I think, is that it did not fundamentally change the community, the area, the district at the time, right? Because there wasn't anything really happening
right
there. You know, there was the Warners that was doing thing and the Wilson had shows, but it wasn't like that was an entertainment district.
Yeah, I mean, it changed the fact that we couldn't see shows at the Wilson anymore, but it didn't affect the area.
No, it didn't affect the area because it wasn't anything else. If anything,
it may have, in fact,
in some ways helped the area at the time. So I think that while there are parallels, it's not exactly the same. And I think this is really a different scenario. And I do think that it's really one of those things where if it were to happen for whatever reason and the church was to take over, I mean, I think it would be one of those things like losing the Met Museum or, you know, like one of those big cultural moments that just would be.
And then what happens?
At the very least, it would be emotionally devastating.
Right.
But it would also be, you know, from people I'm talking to, they also think it could be economically devastating because when we come back from the pandemic, you're going to need a place like that.
Well, especially if they're not going to allow the Real Pride, if they're not going to allow Fresno Film Festival, if they're not going to allow that kind of thing.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's, you know, you would guess that they wouldn't. I mean, who knows? But, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing. My hope is, so obviously if the theater is up for sale, it means that there's some sort of struggle, financial something that's going on, or maybe the people just want to get rid of it and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope would be that someone could come up with the funding and take it over and really keep it doing what it was designed for. You know, because like you said, I mean, a church is a church is a church, and a church can really go in any place.
Right.
But a place like this being used for something like this that's not something you can just create out of thin air.
And it's just, Kier mentioning how, like, even if this was a church that was, like, super supportive of the whole community that's around the Tower District, it still takes out the Wilson. Now I don't even think about the Wilson anymore. Like, that could be a vibrant theater that has all kinds of awesome shows like it used to do. And there could be like a bar right there instead of that cafe they have, that church cafe. And there could be all kind of cool stuff going on, but it's just a dead, I don't care about going to Cornerstone Church, and most of the community, Fresno, doesn't either. And so it's just a dead historic corner of Fresno. And for the Tower Theater to possibly turn into a dead, at the very best, best scenario is that Tower Theater becomes a dead thing to the rest of Fresno. Right. People need to get fucking pissed about that, I think.
It's not like, you know, like I said, so the Wilson Theater was the Wilson Theater. The Tower Theater is the Tower District. I mean, they're so intertwined that you can't pull one away from the other, I don't think.
No.
And if you have it operating as something other than a performing arts venue, you know,
It's better to not be operating at all, as far as I'm concerned, instead of being some private thing that only a certain group of people go to. You know, it's like closing off. It's like closing off a beach or like a public beach, and they're like, we're gonna put a house in here, and this is now our fucking beach. To me, it's like that. So it's
well, and from a business standpoint, you know, you're looking at, so you know, even if a church brings in. You know, even if they have 1,000 people that they can bring in, or let's say, you know, they have 3 services every Sunday and they fill it every time. So they, you know, 1,800
so
people.
So, yeah, it's just like Sunday. One day of business.
Those are right. And those are the same people recycled over and over again. Whereas if you have a performing arts there, you're bringing in a diverse and new set of customers all the time. So the people who go there to see a rock show aren't going to be the same people who go there to see the blues show, aren't going to be the same people who go there to see, you know, comedy, aren't going to be the same people who go there to see Fresno Filmworks, aren't going to be the same, you know?
Yeah.
And so you could just kind of go down the line and see the kind of diversity that's going to be pulled into the theater, but then because of that are going to stay in the district and really, you know, spend money and do whatever. So, you know, from a business standpoint, from the district, I think they're really, I don't know if worried's quite the right word, but you know, they really have an invested stake in making sure that whatever happens with this is done correctly. So. We will see.
We will watch.
You know,
and hopefully do something. You know,
again, I hope that, you know, maybe the city has to step in and kind of help broker a deal. But, you know, my hope is they can get someone in there that can continue to operate it as a venue, because it is such a it's a great place and a great resource. And I think it's one of those things that people won't realize like how much that the theater does until it's gone. And then they will be really, really, really sad about it. So, and there is a web, Facebook page for people who are interested, and wanting to know more. It's called Save the Tower Theater. And it has all sorts of information, and it will have more information, I think, as the days go on.
We gotta watch for this. This could turn into a huge thing, or you know, maybe they'll just back out and it won't be anything. But I mean, if this continues, this is to me is going to be a giant thing here to be looking at in 2021 or 2011.
Yeah, I think it definitely could be. I mean, I think I can't.
We can't lose a tower theater to a church.
It would be hard for me to imagine.
A anti-gay church. We cannot allow that.
The Tower Theater, like, just not being there as a theater. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, it is at that intersection. It is such a piece of the neighborhood. You know, it's on all of the, which, I mean, for the church, that actually is a great selling point, is that, like, is there a more iconic part of Fresno? Maybe not.
Yeah.
So for them, like, that might not, to be able to go, like, come to our church in the historic Tower Theater. I mean, that's a great selling, would be a great selling point, you know? But it also means that Fresno loses that.
Yep.
That resource, and I would be sad.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about this. This won't be the last time, I assume.
It will. No, I don't. I don't believe so.
Well, on that, you got anything else, sir? You want to cover?
I have nothing else.
All right.
I think that was it. There's probably stuff that we're missing.
We're probably missing, but we've got February.
Yeah.
For sure. It's time to plug it up. Go for it, Josh. Oh, me? Okay. Little old me. The Fresnan.com. That's a blog.
Fresnan.com.
Remember the 90s when blogs were a thing?
The 90s? Really? 90s?
Yeah, then 90s, man. Blogs are 90s? The shit. Yeah, 2000s, nah, boring.
It was early 2000s.
All right, you're right, you're right. Blogging. You're right.
I mean, there could have been blogs in the 90s. I don't know.
I was there, blogging. Where were you?
So you're saying there was.
Posting my terrible screenplays.
Oh, this is something new that I've never heard.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know time and space anymore. The early 2000s was when the blogging was the shit. And we were battling. I was battling the beehive for clicks.
Man, you were going.
No, we didn't care about clicks back then. We just cared about ads. Ads.
I feel like in many cases you were coming out the victor.
No,
at least
I don't think there ever was a time. What, like one freakish, like one out of every 15 attempts, maybe.
Yeah. But there was just you. The blog had like a whole crew of people.
Just me.
They had the blog.
With my dumb computer in my bedroom.
They had the blog.
Uploading with my dial up 56K. Upload a thing and go to bed and like hope in the morning when I woke up that I got up there. This is going to be a scathing thing against the beehive, and I'm gonna win.
So
thefrozen.com, it's still there. It's still blog posts go up there, and then also have the new thing for the blogging community is newsletters. The Substack. Everyone's got a sub. You don't have a Substack, you're not even doing anything on the internet,
right?
And fresnofresno.substack.com.
Fresno. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then another one on Substack called drinkingandthinking.substack.com. That's another newsletter. Okay. I'm spreading myself out there for some reason too thin. And also not good, not really that great at anything, but I am into a lot of things. That's
I think that's fine.
Sure. It's fine if you want to not make money at things.
Well, right.
Also, podcasts. There's more podcasts to check out, like The Perfect Pour, Beer Geek Show, every Friday in the same place you found the Flowing with Famous. There's you can also search for The Perfect Pour, and there's also Get Off My Podcast, Harrison Ford Show. And we need to do a new one, but there's some news. Harrison Ford, Disney's trying to convince Harrison Ford to do something for Disney Plus, whether that's Indiana Jones related or a new show, we're not sure. But there's some breaking Harrison Ford news right now that we need to discuss soon. And I think that's enough. The Fresnan on social media.
All right. So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee. And FresnoBee.com. Again, a lot of what we talk about on the show, you can find at the Fresno Bee. More in depth than we.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the information comes from Fresno Bee, reading it. So that's a place to go. I also have a Substack.
Oh my God. This is my new favorite thing, too.
That I just started. It's called Band Geek. And geek is spelled with 1, 2, 3, 4 E's.
Four E's. Because you just love E's.
Band geek exclamation point. And it's
Is it exclamation point in the Substack?
No. It's just normal. It's bandgeek.substack.com.
All right.
With four E's. Right now it's a weekly thing. And it's just local music stuff. So right now it's been a lot of releases because that's mostly what people have been doing. But I kind of envision it as a place where, you know, if a local musician passes away, you know, like when Eli, you know, Reyes died a while back, that would have been a place where I could have put a little something. Mm-hmm. If there's, you know, venue news, you know, once we get venues again, if there's new venues opening, I don't think it'll ever be like a, you know, gig flyer kind of thing.
Right, the flyer we used to do with
because that's just, I feel like,
oh my God, that was so time consuming,
terribly much work.
Yeah.
But it's more kind of just, you know, it's really just for a place for me to like, I come across stuff all the time just because I follow a bunch of people online and I'm looking at a bunch of Fresno, local Fresno stuff all the time, or people send me stuff, like whatever. So this is an opportunity for me to share that with people, like, hey, here's, you know, and this week, Debbie Rude, who's a local singer, and she runs the Boy Shop down in the Tower District. She put out a new song with her brother, who's a musician down in LA. And she put a video as a video, and they put a video. It's a really cool song. And so, you know, I featured that and linked to the video and that kind of stuff. So it's just that kind of thing. Again, it's Band Geek with four E's at .substack.com if you want to subscribe.
Nice.
And it's free and it's good, and you'll get it every week. You know, it's low maintenance. You don't
have to do, yeah. Subscribe and then you're done.
Yeah.
Although it's so annoying as a newsletter writer that, like, so many of them go into the wrong folder of somebody's, you know, they'll go into somebody's promotions folder or spam folder. And it drives me nuts. It, like, because I get like 40% of the people that subscribe actually read it. So it's like 60% of the people just never either see it or open it. And it's just
It has a 57%.
Ooh, look at you. That is unheard of in newsletter writing.
84% last week.
What the frick?
Open rate.
So it was you? Did you were you the only subscriber and you opened it?
There's only like 20 people, so it's not like a big deal.
Don't reveal the numbers, still. Josh.
Still.
That's a damn good rate.
That'd be great if you want to check that out. And then, you know, I have a couple of bands that are doing stuff, you know, but nothing really big out. Strikingly Originals, it'll go back to the Downwinders, other names of the bands if you want to look for them. But this is kind of a lull. A lot of bands are doing a lot, right? Like in 2020. There's a lot of bands that did
being
a
creative
lot and
stuff,
released a
man.
Lot and are still. We didn't get around to doing all that, but
come on, Josh.
You know, but maybe I will. So when that happens, you can pay attention. And
you
then
did release a Christmas song. You didn't talk about that. You released a Christmas song.
I did release a Christmas song, recorded with my friend Todd as part of our Downwinders project. He wrote it last year. We put it together last year. And I think we may have like done it for an Instagram story or something and played it. And then that was it. And so this year he was like, hey, let's record it and do it. So we put it out and it's real good. So you could check it out. I think if you go to Victim of Propaganda on Bandcamp, you can find it there.
All right. Hopefully I'll hear it on K-Love Christmas next year, you know, when they're doing all the Christmas all day, every day.
Yes. Yes.
Get it into the rotation.
Yes. I believe that's a good idea. Yeah, I think that's about it.
You got another podcast?
Oh, I do have another. See, yeah, I'm telling you, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
To keep me.
Yeah. Especially when, you know, I know this isn't the kind of stuff you teach. But the new season of Cobra Kai has dropped, which is basically like your life.
People are freaking out about this, by the way. I have not seen an episode.
What? You haven't seen one episode?
I hear it's good, right?
It's good. It's cheesy good. Like,
it's outrageous, right?
It's like, you know, 90210 mixed with The Karate Kid, mixed with like 80s cheesy show. Like, it's
so I did and watch like the
yeah if you look at it through that lens, it's awesome. If you're like looking at like a serious show, then you're like, what the fuck is this? But if you just look through it through a cheese flavored lens, then you're like, all right, I get this show. This
is perfect. Anyway, so what you're hinting at is that I do a martial arts podcast.
There you go.
And it's called Aikido Discussed, and where we talk about Aikido. It's a weekly podcast, and you can find that wherever you find podcasts. It's very, I mean, so there's three of us, and it's real, like, we just kind of shoot the shit. But it's also, we talk a lot about martial arts, so it's very niche, I think. But if you're into it, into martial arts or self-defense, it's probably good for at least one listen. So, yeah.
Yeah. And go watch Cobra Kai just for fun. Just like be like, I can't believe they're doing that move.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll report back.
Yes, please. So. Please do.
All right. Well, anything else for the good of the cause here before we...
Just be safe out there, Fresno.
Check out until February.
Be safe, please.
Yeah, be
just
safe.
Just stay home.
Hey, we got some fog.
Yeah, we did. That was treacherous, man. I drove in that.
We hadn't had fog.
Not that kind of fog, right? Yeah, for a while.
Not like this. And so I kind of felt like I was a little nostalgic.
Yeah.
I felt like some nostalgia there.
We can still get this kind of fog. Oh, okay. That's all right.
Yeah. Even though then later it was like, oh, it's because of all the pollution.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, dang it.
Damn it, Mark Grossi. Stop reminding me of how bad the air is. I want to just look the other way.
Correct. That's exactly. That's where I get off my. So follow Mark Grossi. Actually, anyone who's interested.
Yeah, if you want to depress yourself, like it rains, you're like, oh, the air is so awesome, and then Mark Grossi's like, no, it's not. You're like, damn it.
He's like, you might think the air is cleaner than it was yesterday, and it is, but. And then he just breaks it all down for you. All right, well, that's all I have.
All right, guys. Be careful out there and be safe.
All right. So I'm going to count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.